live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great. A little bit later this hour, around 5:35, Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York, will be a part of the show. Plus, we'll be keeping you updated on this Kansas City Chiefs-Buffalo Bills game. In fact, I'll give you an update when we bring in our next guest to talk about it. Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline joining us now. Alan, hope you had a great weekend. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so Harrison Butker, this guy can boom it long distance. Great, outstanding field goal kicker, right? What is his problems with extra points? He just missed one. Kansas City has retaken the lead against Buffalo, the second connection with Patrick Mahomes to tight end Travis Kelce. The extra point was missed, so the Chiefs lead the Bills now 13-10. But this is becoming too common for Butker with these extra points.
Yeah, it is. It's odd, too, because, you know, we've really never seen really any type of regression from Butker whatsoever. And, you know, again, I'm not saying that this is something that, you know, is going to continue, but it's kind of becoming a little bit of a trend here. I know that there's some bad weather up there, but still, I mean, that was just a push. And, you know, here's the interesting thing. For anybody that's watching the game, whenever that happens, I like to watch the interaction between the kicker and the holder. Right. And I looked at like both of them, the camera, you know, panned in close to, you know, to both of them. And neither one really had an answer. Like you could just see it on their face. They're like, I don't know what's going on. What just happened? It was a perfect hold. Butker's got a little bit of an issue here.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. He's missed more extra points than he has field goals. He's 8-for-9 in field goals this year. And now with that missed extra point, he's 13-17. And by the way, in case you needed to know this, that is worse in the NFL as far as extra point percentage.
It's crazy. It's odd. And, you know, especially when you're looking at something like an extra point, you know, I don't know, you know, the mechanics and everything of what goes into it, but I mean,
it's mental. It is 100% mental.
It's gotta be. Like, you're exactly right. And, you know, once something like that creeps in your head, it's like playing golf. You know, and you just kind of, you know, the more that you try to fix it, you know, say if you're slicing the ball left, you know, the more that you try to fix it or aim your, you know, position your body left or swing further left, like you just end up going, I don't know, it's just a mess. But you're right, man, it's got to be mental for sure.
I remember getting into this conversation after one of the games with Ryan Succop, who did not have problems with extra points, and he's now with Tampa Bay. But I was talking with him about it, and I was asking him, you know, the big difference is, you know, why are there so many misses? It was the first year they put that in place as far as moving it back. And so now you're talking about a 35-yard field goal. And it's not the distance. It's just the mental part of it, knowing that it's a little bit further back. And you're overthinking it.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you know, the overthinking part, that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, you know, beyond just kicking, any part of the game, any part of life, really. You know, once it gets into your head and you do start overthinking, the process is usually when things go south. So, yeah, that makes complete sense to me.
What about the nice 1-2 punch? You know, previewing the Titans-Houston game, felt like whoever had the better of the games between Derrick Henry and David Johnson, that was going to mean the winner of who won this contest. Well, Derrick Henry certainly showed up with his 212 yards. Ryan Tannehill, solid performance, 364 yards, 4 touchdowns. But, you know, Tennessee, very fortunate. Mike Vrabel, excellent game management to put them in the position to send this game into overtime yesterday. And then the Titans took care of business in overtime.
Yeah, see, that's the crazy thing is, like, you know, there are so many, like, records and stats that we can go through, you know, of Derrick Henry and 90, you know, plus yard TD runs. The Titans are the first team ever to have a 350-yard passer and a 200, you know, yard runner in a game. And the Titans needed every single second and almost lost that game, right? Like, that's how wild of a game it was. I got to give credit to the Texans. The second half, Deshaun Watson, obviously most notably, he played well, very well. And, yeah, I mean, it was a big win for them. And, you know, the crazy thing is, you know, take the Buffalo game out, you know, it seems like the Titans are you know, leaving points on the field, you know, with field goal issues, right? And they had six with a blocked field goal and a missed field goal. And you wonder, you're like, when is this going to catch up with them? Because the NFL, you can't just leave 6-9 points on the field and expect to win. But this team keeps finding ways to win at the end of the game. It's just incredible. Like, they just they don't give up, ever. It's just phenomenal to watch this team.
The other part was just the – and, look, we see this all the time is like, what are you doing as far as – and I understand, you know, and once again, a missed extra point there for the Houston Texans when they went up 23-21. They missed the extra point there. But then when they scored the touchdown with just under 2 minutes to go, you're up by seven. Why are you going for two? Kick the extra point. You're up by eight. I just don't understand sometimes these questionable decisions. And we saw it, you know, in the Buffalo game. Like, why are you going for two so early? And because at that point, you know, you knew you're going to have to go for two eventually. But why kill your momentum if it fails, which it did? And Buffalo was kind of out of it for the rest of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, going back to that exact, you know, the Texans decided to go for two instead of one. Like, I understood, obviously, why he was doing it. If you can get, you know, by nine, you essentially win the game. However, it was a dumb move. Like, just go up by eight. Like, you know,
yeah.
Not only to drive for a minute and, you know, 50 seconds and score a touchdown and get a two-point conversion. Like,
absolutely.
Like, yeah, like, if that's not good enough for you, like, why are you even in this game? And, you know, I had people yelling at me saying, no, it was the right decision. I was like, yeah, clearly, it was the right decision. It was the wrong decision. Like, it was just ignorant. I can understand if, you know, if you're up by, you know, six and you want to get to seven, or, I mean, five and you want to get to seven, whatever. But 8-9, like, I didn't like it at all. Obviously, it clearly proved to be the wrong decision. And credit to the Titans, and credit for Mike Vrabel, you know, taking, you know, on that Texans drive, you know, having a 12th person, you know, on the field to take a penalty to save 40 seconds.
Right.
Brilliant by that guy. He's done this a couple times now. He is as intelligent with the rules and how to go, you know, how to kind of bend them your way as any coach I've ever seen.
Well, anytime you can make decisions like that, that will be discussed in the off season to make changes to that rule. In other words, allow, in this case, you know, allowed the Houston Texans to decide exactly about runoffs or all that, or the holding of the 40 seconds. Because anytime you can force rule changes to not benefit the team that's trailing, you can expect those discussions to be had during the off season.
Yeah, I mean, you're right there. I mean, at some point, you know, the league, you know, is going to say, okay, all right, we've got to do something about it. But again, you know what? Credit to them. And there's probably other instances that we haven't even picked up on of what he's done, you know, and just continue to keep finding him. Like, it's incredible. Like, it is what it is. The guy found a loophole in the rule system, and he's using it to his benefit, man. Like, you know, this is professional sports, and if I have a coach that's smart enough to figure those out, yeah, I want to play for that guy.
Is there a better defense than the Pittsburgh Steelers right now?
No. Think about this. Every single game this season, they've had at least 3-plus sacks and an interception. Every game. They've had at least 3 sacks for a consecutive of 6 games going back to last year. Like, this defense is incredible. Like, they not only prevent you from scoring, like, they essentially just choke you out. Like, it's incredible the way this defense plays. It's going to hurt losing Devin Bush for sure. You know, not only is he a tremendous player, he's a green dot on their defense. But still, I mean, this defense plays. And Minkah Fitzpatrick, like, what a trade. You called it last year, as soon as that trade happened, of how smart that it was. He's played in 19 games with the Steelers. He has 3 touchdowns. It's incredible, man. Like,
he is one of the smartest. Really, he is one of the smartest college football players I've ever been around, period.
Yep.
That's how, I mean, he was a coach on the field when he was at Alabama. And you know, those individuals don't come around very often.
No, and he plays like it. And obviously you can see, I mean, Mike Tomlin being, you know, the successful coach that he is, and the Pittsburgh Steelers being the successful franchise that they are, like, Mick is a perfect Pittsburgh Steeler. You know what I mean? Like, he plays the game smart. He plays the game clean. And he just takes advantage of you. And this is going to be a heck of a game Sunday between the Steelers and Titans. It's going to be phenomenal.
I mean, I'll say this right now. Too bad he is as great as he is as a football player, because he will probably make too much money and not want to go into being a coach like in the NFL or college football. I would love for him to be involved with high school, you know, coaching after his playing days are over. But, you know, he is that smart as a football player.
Man, I love to hear that. Like, I rely on you, you know, for stories like that about him, because, you know, I don't know the guy. I've never been around him. But everything's obviously been positive. And, you know, to hear, you know, you say that time and time again of just how smart he is, how good of a guy he is. It's tremendous, man. I love to hear about people like that.
So what are we supposed to make out of the Philadelphia Eagles? You know, they were left for dead going into the fourth quarter yesterday, and, geez, they almost got the Ravens with their 22 points in the fourth quarter.
Well, you know what? So I was going to say this. You know, what do we make about the Ravens, right? This is not the first time that they've kind of had this, you know, move pulled on them.
Right.
Of a team, you know, making a game close, you know, late. You know, the Eagles are the Eagles. Like, I'll give them credit. You know, they're an aggressive team. And when they get down, because obviously they have injury issues all over the field. But when they get down, man, they don't give up. And they keep fighting. And, that's, you know, that's got a lot to do with Doug Peterson as a head coach. So I give him credit for that. But, yeah, my question goes more to the Ravens. Are we sure that the Steelers aren't the best team in the AFC North?
See, I think I'm not going to deny that now. I think it is the Pittsburgh Steelers, and mainly because just being more of a complete team. I mean, look, defense in the NFL is king, and I don't see a defense close to that in the AFC.
No, and you know the crazy thing is that the Browns coming into that game were ranked pretty close to Pittsburgh. Like, the Browns have a real defense. And I mean, Pittsburgh is just another world. They're just playing just such phenomenal football. And I wouldn't be surprised when they come in Sunday against the Titans if they have a little bit of little poison in their mouth over what happened and them losing a bye week. This might be a little chippy game.
Aaron Rodgers not very happy yesterday with his offense. And because they fell behind as big as they did to Tampa Bay, that meant they were in passing mode. Aaron Rodgers got hit 13 times yesterday. He wasn't a happy camper, and, you know, there's still the king of the NFL quarterbacks, and his name is Tom Brady.
Yeah. Hey, right, Tom Brady, he moves to Tampa Bay. As soon as he does, the Lightning win the Stanley Cup. The Rays go to the World Series.
Right.
And Tampa's hosting the Super Bowl. Like, it's Tom Brady. Like, that's what happens. Give the Bucs defense credit. They got after the Green Bay Packers quite well. And, you know, here's a weird thing. I think Matt LaFleur has only lost, what, five games as, you know, the head coach of the Packers, one being the NFC Championship? I think it's five. Two of them now have come off a bye week. Like, and those are the two big blowouts. So it's weird that the bye week actually seems to hurt the Green Bay Packers for some reason. But, you know, we kind of saw the deficiencies in the Packers' offense, right? Like, we saw the offensive line issues that they certainly have had, you know, the injuries, et cetera, things like that. They couldn't run the ball at all. Their wide receivers really couldn't get much separation. There are some issues there. Now, you know, they could turn it around and blow out the next four teams because Aaron Rodgers is that good. But you see it. You know, you see the issues that they had. And give the Bucs credit. Not only to get after Aaron Rodgers, they had a perfect game in the sense of this. They had no penalties, no sacks. Like, I mean, it was just a flawless game. That was, we were watching the ceiling of what the Bucs can be right there. And if they play at their ceiling, they're a pretty good team.
I mean, I'm going to throw it out there. You know, Tampa Bay, they need to somehow attract an NBA franchise, because just like we saw in the Boston area with all the championships with the Patriots, the Celtics, even the Bruins got a Stanley Cup during all that time frame. That Tampa Bay now needs to get themselves an NBA franchise, because are you betting against Tampa Bay to find a way to play in the Super Bowl at this point?
No, and that's the crazy thing is, like, you look at it and you're like, well, you know, they're a pretty good team, I don't know. But, like, there's just something with Brady. There's just something with this guy, man. And, like, we need to be treating him like an Olympic committee bid. Like, he could be 71 years old, and you're just like, okay, yeah, free agency, bring him in. It's going to be an economic surplus to the city. Other teams are going to start winning. Like, this guy's just incredible.
I mean, at this point, it looks like Seattle, but I'm curious about their defense more than anything else. But, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, with Tampa Bay, what they're doing, look, I'm not, although the Dodgers, I think, are on paper better than Tampa Bay, I'm not going against Tampa Bay as far as the Rays in this World Series.
No, I'm not. I think that, I think we're going to have a really good World Series. And yeah, I'm with you. Like, you know, Tampa clearly showed, you know, that they're a solid team. Tampa's good, man. Like, that's the thing is that each week they keep getting better. And you brought up the Seahawks, and I think we're going to see it. And we've got a pretty good system of parity in the NFL this year where we've seen the Chiefs get whooped, you know, by the Raiders. We saw the Packers, their deficiencies. We're going to see it at some point with the Seahawks. And quite frankly, we're going to see a game like that with the Titans. It's going to happen where just things don't go your way, you're missing kicks, et cetera, and you get blown out by a team that you shouldn't. So I think as we get closer to the playoff time, we're going to have a lot of good teams that are kind of bunched up there at the top, and then we're just going to have a fight in the playoffs to see who gets through. It's going to be a phenomenal finish this season.
I don't know if you saw a lot of the social media posts over the weekend about the Jets, where this could be just like when they went 1-15 and in position to draft a Peyton Manning if he came out after his junior year, and he decided not to. Because the Jets right now certainly headed to an 0-16 mark, getting beat 24-0 yesterday. It would be like a Jets thing to do to be in that position to draft Trevor Lawrence, and Trevor says, no, I'm good. I'm enjoying this winning national championships and playing with my friends here in Clemson.
Wouldn't that be brutal? You know, here's the thing. If Adam Gase were coming back, that would be almost a 99.9% chance that it would probably happen where Lawrence would say, yeah, I'm good on that. Like, I'm just going to wait you out. With a new head coach, obviously, you know, that'll kind of change things. But still, the Jets got to figure this thing out. Like, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, they trade, Steve McClendon right after the game, who not only is a good player, but is a huge locker room guy, too, who they don't really have too many of those guys left. And think about this. They're playing to Miami. McClendon was so excited to go from the Jets to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that instead of flying back with the team to New York, get his stuff, move, you know, to Tampa, he rented a car in Miami and drove 282 miles and went right to Tampa Bay's locker room. Like, that's how excited this guy was. So that's kind of a metaphor right there to the Jets. They got some problems.
Tonight, the second game, Arizona on the road taking on Andy Dalton and the Dallas Cowboys. At least when you think about the NFC East, it's open for business for anyone to win it. How do you see this matchup tonight? Can Andy Dalton now, you know, he's a native Texan, perfect opportunity for him. How do you see this with Kyler Murray in Arizona tonight with Dallas?
Yeah. So, you know, I think Andy Dalton can do okay. I mean, they've got offensive weapons, right? Like, Andy Dalton will be fine. I don't think it's going to be at a Dak level. Like, they're not going to be putting up 490 yards, you know, every week, but Andy Dalton can hold his own. The question still, you know, remain with Dallas' defense. If they could stop anybody, and you're getting an Arizona team that quite frankly, they're sitting at 3-2. They need a win, and they need a big one. So we're going to find out if that defense can put any clamps on Kyler and the Cardinals. But I think Dallas' offense will be okay. Again, they might not score, you know, 49 points, but, you know, we'll see if their defense, you know, forces them to try to do it. But I've got the Cardinals tonight, especially if you give me a plus one. Yeah, I'm all over Arizona on this one.
Did you have this through 5 weeks that the Tennessee Titans would have as many wins as all four teams in the NFC East combined? I mean, let that sink in for just a second. Dallas with two, the Eagles, Giants, and Washington one each. Their five wins equal what the Titans have done through their first five games.
That's incredible. I mean, that is just incredible. You know, and it, one, about how good the Titans are, and two, how awful the NFC East is. And sadly, one of those teams has to go to the playoffs. It feels like it's going to be a race to six wins. You know? I don't even know if somebody gets to 7 or 8.
I like Arizona to win this, and so that means Dallas will be in first place with a winning percentage of 33.3%, and two games under 500, and they'll still be in first place.
My goodness. That's insane. I love that stat yesterday. The Giants got their first win of the season, and it put them one game behind the lead. Like, it's incredible. It's just incredible what's going on over there.
Hey, as always, we appreciate you, sir. Remind everybody again what Sportsline.com is all about.
Yeah, definitely, man. Appreciate you having me. Yeah, sports.com. We're into sports wagering. We obviously look at, you know, every single bet. We grade them for you and let you know the ones to play, the ones not to play. If you're into, you know, fantasy season long, we cover that. If you're into DFS, like tonight with two games, it's a big one on the slate. We've got experts to cover that. So really, anything that you are into, we'll have you ready for the World Series too. Go to sportsnet.com, click around, check it out, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Hey, we appreciate you, sir. Have a great rest of the week. We'll talk soon.
You too, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you again. That's Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. Sportsline.com is the site. Quick update on Kansas City, Buffalo. Buffalo just missed a 52-yard field goal right before the half. So it's Kansas City leading Buffalo 13-10 at halftime. Rainy conditions this afternoon in Buffalo. This segment brought to you by friends with Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. You already knew about the enhanced experience with Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Hendersonville at Circus World. Now, the folks down in Rutherford County, you have Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall. So besides the normal things like bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment, you now have the opportunity to enjoy laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Other locations in the area to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can go online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Well, good afternoon. We see a wreck near that Lowe's in Madison on Gallatin Pike near One Mile Parkway. Also, they're working an accident Trinity Lane at White's Creek Pike. They had traffic tied up a few minutes ago. Still heavy traffic to the north, but it's moving on 65 up through Madison, passing OHB all the way up to Vietnam Vets. Check out the all-new Andre Chicken Sandwich, which is now available at Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
You gonna eat the other half of that sandwich?
It's all yours.
Nice. Chips too?
Sure.
Cool. What's up with that Powerball ticket?
I didn't win.
Can I have it?
Why?
To enter the Powerball First Millionaire of the Year drawing. I could win a free trip to New York City or New Year's Eve hometown party package.
Then no, you can't have it.
Fine. Well, I'm keeping the sandwich.
Visit TNVIPrewards.com to enter the Powerball First Millionaire of the Year drawing from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
I'm on Dead Man's Bend at midnight when my gas light pops on. I see a gas station ahead. Just my luck. Or is it? I walk in. The attendant lifts a bony finger towards me and croaks, "You want a Halloween jumbo box?" I whisper, terrified, "No." And as I leave, he asks the lady behind me. She says, "Okay." And then...
She wants $75,000!
Scare up some cash with the Halloween jumbo box instant game. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, head-raising fun. Please play responsibly.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR Skyscan Forecast. For this afternoon, we'll see mostly cloudy skies today with isolated showers, highs at around 76, with a south wind gusting to 17 miles an hour. And the showers will continue Monday night, with lows going down to 63 with a light wind from the south. Tuesday is going to clear up with partly cloudy skies, with highs at around 80. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Rich Brennan. Sports Radio,
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams, 615-844-5600. Guess what's back this weekend, Zach?
What's that?
We have the Big Ten. We have the Mountain West finally deciding to play football this weekend.
Wow. It's actually happening, finally.
In the Big Ten, they start actually Friday night with a Wisconsin-Illinois matchup. As far as some of the games on tap, as far as in the Big Ten, Ohio State plays host to Nebraska. Penn State ranked 8th this week in the AP poll. They'll be at Indiana. Michigan, this is a nice matchup, 18th ranked Michigan is on the road at 21st ranked Minnesota. So, but yeah, the Big Ten and the Mountain West back to play this weekend. So thumbs up as far as that's concerned. Clay in Nashville, welcome to the show.
Johnny, last time I was on with you, I lied to you, I guess. I told you the Atlanta Braves would win the World Series.
Well, you know, here's the thing. We talk about all aspects of baseball, and I go back to that 91 World Series between Atlanta and Minnesota where Lonnie Smith gets deked on the base pass, and instead of being at third, he gets stuck at second. And we look at a bad base-running blunder on Friday night and then last night. Why are you sending runners at second and third, nobody out? So what, for a ground ball, there's one out. Keep it second and third. It gives you still two more chances to score that one extra run that you need and end up not getting any. That, to me, when that happened early on in that ball game, I knew that it was not going to be a good night.
Yeah, I think ultimately, Johnny, that maybe cost them the game. And unfortunate that Dansby was involved in that play. But he had a good year. The Braves had a good year, a good postseason run. I'm still amazed at how well their pitching staff, pitched in the postseason.
Smoke and mirrors. The fact that they didn't really even have a rotation, and the fact that we're talking about three chances to advance to the World Series with that rotation, whoever would imagine that? And the fact that, especially when Mike Soroka, their ace, went down with the Achilles injury, at that point, after, with Max Fried, you didn't know what you were going to get. You didn't know about Ian Anderson. You didn't know if Kyle Wright could do anything. You didn't know about any of those guys. And for them to be in that position with three games to win one more to advance the World Series, there's no reason, if you're a Braves fan, to be disappointed. It hurts. It hurts, but it is what it is. Yes, on to the Titans.
This is going to be a tough game for the Titans on Sunday, Johnny. I think the Steelers are probably going to be favored, aren't they?
Oh, I have not seen the odds yet, but I'm sure they will be, and mainly because of the fact that defense, to me, not only best in the AFC, I would say their defense is the best in the NFL.
Because the Titans' defense maybe hasn't played, up to standards. They've basically been outscoring people so far. But against the Steelers' defense, I just don't see the Titans being able to put up that many points. Do you?
No, and I think it's because, once again, and it's not like the Pittsburgh Steelers' offense has been clicking on all cylinders all year long. I mean, the reason why they're in the position that they're in still, it still comes back. By the way, Pittsburgh... anywhere from it opened with the Titans being favored by one, but now the general consensus, Pittsburgh's either a 1.5 to 2.5 favorite, and they're being listed right now as a 1.5 favorite, so it's now leaning towards Pittsburgh as the favorite in this one. And a lot of it probably has to do with the news today that Taylor Lewan, the best weapon on the offensive line, The person in charge of protecting Ryan Tannehill, he's now lost for the season with a torn ACL.
Johnny, you know I've announced in the last few weeks on this show that I am a passionate Cowboys fan, right? Just like Vanderbilt.
Right.
But I like your pick. Love the team. Dislike the owner. Calling the Botox. Jerry Jones is the Botox man. But, I think the Cardinals win this game tonight. It's just, it's like you were talking about with that guest. It's amazing to me, you know, that Dallas could lose this game and be two games under 500.
And they'd still be in first place.
How
bad is the NFC East that you can lose this game, be two games under 500 at 2-4 with a winning percentage of 33.3%, and still have first place in the NFC East by yourself?
If the Cowboys lose tonight, Johnny, think about this. The combined record of that division after six games will be 5-18-1.
Well, I already said that earlier. I said about the five wins part that it matches what the Titans have. All four of those teams combined have the same amount of wins right now as the Tennessee Titans. So if Dallas loses, that would be the same after tonight.
I think there was 1 year, wasn't there, Johnny, when the Saints won their division with a 7-9 record?
It was Seattle, if I remember correctly, because the Saints had to go to Seattle, and the Saints had the better record. And yet Seattle got to host the game with their seven wins.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the winner of the NFC East has a losing record, Johnny.
Appreciate your phone call, buddy.
See ya.
Thank you. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll talk some more NFL. Barry Wilner, the guy, the pro football writer with the Associated Press up in Nashville. I want to tell you about the Klein Preston Law Group here in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and the Southeastern Conference with over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Now, their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group, they've represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee, all the way to United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with the K, KleinPrestonLaw.com.
Well, good afternoon. We see a wreck near that Lowe's in Madison on Gallatin Pike near 1 Mile Parkway. Also, they're working an accident Trinity Lane at White's Creek Pike. They had traffic tied up a few minutes ago. Still heavy traffic to the north, but it's moving on 65 up through Madison, passing OHB all the way up to Vietnam Vets. Check out the all-new Andre Chicken Sandwich, which is now available at Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide two enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet. The back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So, what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look. And I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Joey Logano punches his ticket to the Championship Four race at Phoenix in a couple of weeks. But up next, this weekend, is Texas Motor Speedway in the round of eight. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it every single weekday right here.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Our NFL discussions continue as we go back to the hotline. The guy, the pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York, Barry Wilner, joining us now. Barry, hope you had a wonderful weekend. Welcome back, sir.
Always my pleasure, Johnny.
Hey, what does 5-18-1 mean to you?
5-18-1. Well, you're throwing a lot of numbers at me there. What does it mean?
It means if the Dallas Cowboys lose tonight to Arizona, which I think they will do, that will be the combined record of the NFC East. In other words, you could take all four of those teams, take their five wins, and it will equal what the Titans have done through their first five games.
Well, except that none of those teams at any point this season has played as well as the Titans have in most of their games.
No, absolutely not. Although you can maybe say Dallas with Dak Prescott, offensively they might have, but other than that, no. What about from a complete defense standpoint, who's the best defense in the league? Is it Pittsburgh?
Oh, yeah, and I think you're going to see it next Sunday when they play the Titans. The Steelers, they have a chip on their shoulder a little bit, too, because the Browns came in seeming to get all this love, especially for the offense. And you saw what the Steelers did. They made Baker Mayfield look like a high school player. They shut down the run. And I think you're going now. I think that Ryan Tannehill is a veteran and Derrick Henry is a better running back. Make for a better matchup for the Titans against the Steelers. But right now, to me, and I know I said last week I thought the Packers were the best team in the league, but I said fundamentally. And then they turned around and laid an egg yesterday. Right now, I think the Steelers are the best team in the league.
Yeah, you bring up the Green Bay Packers, and it just felt like the offense for the Packers stayed in Green Bay. They didn't make the trip to Tampa Bay yesterday. They were off from the beginning. They had to start, you know, passing the ball, which means Aaron Rodgers got hit a lot, double-digit times getting hit yesterday against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, something that you don't see all that much because Aaron is so good at getting away from the rush, but he was so off balance and off stride in that game. Very impressive defensive performance by Todd Bowles and the Buccaneers. They threw some new stuff at the Packers that Rodgers was not expecting.
You know, with the bounce-back performance with Tampa Bay and Tom Brady after a disappointing loss on a Thursday night, you know, last weekend, and you think about the Tampa Bay Lightning win the Stanley Cup. Now the Tampa Bay Rays, they're in the World Series against the Dodgers. How about the magic of Tom Brady? Because, you know, in New England, you talked about the success of all the Boston franchises up there, and now it's kind of like the opportunity is there for Tampa Bay. Maybe they should go out and try to attract a NBA franchise with that success. Can you envision Tampa Bay playing in the Super Bowl this year?
No, I really can't, but ask me again in December. First of all, no team ever hosts the Super Bowl and then winds up playing in it, so why should that streak end? But then again, this is 2020, and I know the game's in 2021, but you can't discount anything with what we've gone through in 2020. I do think there are better teams in the NFC, and I think because the Bucs have a pretty hard schedule, they may not get home field advantage through the playoffs, which means they could wind up going to Green Bay again, a much different atmosphere than playing at home. They could wind up going to Seattle, which is usually a very tough place to play. But I'm not discounting them. I still feel the Saints are the better team in that division, but my mind could change very easily by the time we get to December.
I look at the Chicago Bears. They prevailed yesterday against Carolina. They're now 5-1. They just do not look like a 5-1 team. You know, they've only outscored their opponents through these first six games by 12 total points. They may be 5-1 as far as in the standings and atop the NFC North. They just don't look like a 5-1 team, if that makes any sense.
Oh, it makes a lot of sense. We've seen teams like this in the past that have built really nice records, but were somewhat bogus. And then when they would get to the playoffs, they'd disappear. You know, as a great example is Houston almost every year that it would win the division would disappear in the playoffs. So I'm not sold on the Bears, but I do think with their record and in a division where they should beat the Lions twice and they probably can beat the Vikings twice, they've got a shot at 10 wins, and 10 wins will definitely get you in the playoffs.
How about the fact that the Jets, they get outscored 24-0 yesterday in that loss to Miami. So they're definitely in the stakes for number one overall draft pick. Of course, it'd be like a Jets thing to do back when they were 1-15, when they were hoping to be in the position to draft Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning decides that, no, I'm good. I want to come back for one more year to play football for the Tennessee Vols. The fact that in these six games, they've been outscored by 110 points already. 110 points. Jacksonville, a bad team, they've only been outscored by 56 points. But already 110 points being outscored. They're making sure they lose these games.
The talent base is just not there, Johnny. It wasn't at the beginning of the season when many of us picked them to finish last. I don't know that anyone picked them to go in 16, which seems like a potential record for them at the end of this year. Johnny, imagine this. The Jets go 0-16, and we could have two teams, maybe even three, but more likely two teams, go 1-15. Imagine going 1-15 and not getting the number one overall draft pick.
Oh, I mean, look, that the possibility is certainly there. I mean, the Giants, although would the Giants even, I mean, are they sold on Daniel Jones, or would they even entertain that idea?
The idea of what?
Of being in a position to get Trevor Lawrence.
If the scouts for these teams believe that this is Andrew Luck again, or this is a surefire quarterback coming out, you know, then you'd have to think that anyone would take him. Certainly the Jets would. Certainly the Jaguars would. Certainly the Falcons would. They may be married to Matt Ryan, but after another year or so, they could certainly pave the way for Lawrence. So, but again, who's to say that Lawrence would not pull a Peyton Manning and stay in school again, particularly if he doesn't want to go to a team like the Jets or the Jaguars?
You bring that up, and because over the weekend, that was a lot of discussions that were out there that just like Peyton Manning, Trevor Lawrence could break the Jets' heart by doing that thing that you just said, because having too much fun winning championships with Clemson. And, you know, the money will always be there, so why bother? If you buy enough of an insurance policy, why not come back? Because, you know, life is – you're not going to always have these college moments. And so if Trevor Lawrence is still having a good, fun time, you know, continue on. Especially – look, I'm a huge Jets fan. You know that. And I wouldn't want my son playing for the Jets as the Jets are right now. I think they make awful decisions. They've done it for decades as far as player personnel. And until you can show me otherwise, I don't have faith in the coaches. I don't have faith in the management. There's nothing about the Jets that would make me feel good about my son going to play football for them.
Yeah, well, I will say that they have made – remember, I covered the Jets for 18 years when I was covering the league as well. They have made some good decisions on coaches. Herm Edwards was a very good decision. He went
like
to the
Herm Edwards a lot.
5 years. Rex Ryan was a good decision if he had just stuck to being a football coach, which rather than a celebrity.
Right.
You know, I don't think those are bad decisions. But right now, it's hard to have any faith in what that organization is going to do. You know, as my former colleague, the late Dave Goldberg, always used to say, the most important position in pro sports is owner. And in that way, the Jets are just at the bottom.
You have to go back 19 seasons, 18 years ago, the last time the Patriots were below 500 at this juncture of a season. Now 2-3 after the 18-12 loss. I like Drew Locke a lot. I think he's going to be a pretty decent NFL player. But this Patriots team, all the opt-outs are certainly impacting this team at this point.
Johnny, remember one thing before I discuss these Patriots. The Patriots you just referenced wound up winning the Super Bowl in 2001. When, you know, Tom Brady came in when Drew Bledsoe was injured. So remember that. However, I don't think this is that quality of a team. Drew Locke did not play well yesterday. The Patriots made so many mistakes they handed that game away. And it looks like this is a type of team that's capable of doing that. There's a lot of bad decision-making on the field. There was some bad decision-making on the sideline. There was some really poor execution, especially on offense. Now, the defense did hold the Broncos to the 6 field goals. And, you know, if the Patriots don't give up a touchdown, I can't remember the last time they didn't win.
Yeah, very good point. Hey, by the way, just curious, you know, this year with the extra playoff teams, so 7 teams get in on the AFC side and NFC side, but there's only one bye in both. This game with Pittsburgh and the Titans coming up on Sunday, I mean, it's more than just a regular season game. It's more than just keeping your unbeaten streak alive. This has major playoff implications as far as the potential for one of these teams to be that number one overall seed and be the only team to get a bye. How important is that this year?
Yeah, I won't call it essential, but it's extremely important. Now, again, you could be at home and not have any fans there, considering the COVID situation, which would be a real factor. But you still would like to have that extra bye. Incredibly, we have in the AFC a whole bunch of teams that are in the running for it and probably will be right up till Christmas. You know, the Ravens are a really good team. The Steelers are a really good team. The Titans are a really good team. The Chiefs are a really good team. The Bills are, I think, they're a very good team. I don't know if they're on the level of the others. You know, you've got a tremendous amount of competition in this conference.
And that's why the Titans, by the way, pulling for the Bills in this one. I mean, right now it's 9:05 to go in the third quarter. The Chiefs are holding on to their 13-10 lead. But the Bills would love to see the Chiefs lose their second game of the season. And knowing that the Titans have the head-to-head win over the Bills, that helps them in a tiebreaker situation as well.
Yeah, but that gets a little complicated. You know, you got to look down the road. It's pretty simple for the Titans. If they can somehow put together a 13-3 season, I think that probably would be good enough to at least be in the running for that bye, if not to actually have that bye.
Hey, we always appreciate you. I hope you have a wonderful week. Let everybody know again what they can expect as far as at pro32.ap.org.
Coverage of every team, every issue going on in the NFL, columns, features. It's just a great place to find out.